Okay, well, we welcome you to this March DISC facilitator call, DISC practitioners call, and we're delighted to have you join us today. This is Rich and Barbara Meese. We are working our way through the DISC biblical characters with our biblical DISC author, Ken Bogus. Delighted to have a number of you on the call today, and in a few minutes, we're going to turn it over to Ken and just enjoy learning again about how God uses all of us with our strengths and our weaknesses to bring glory to Him as long as we're willing to submit to Him. And again, this morning, I thought we had such
a wonderful program
or devotional that would set us up for our discussion today. So I'm going to read our Lead Like Jesus devotional, and then we're going to turn this over to Ken. Today's devotional is entitled, What Are You Known For? A Reputation Worth Having. What are you known for? Does your family experience Jesus' faithfulness and compassion through you? Do your colleagues and supervisors know you to be loyal and devoted? Do your brothers and sisters in Christ know you in these same ways? What about your friends and community members? We build our reputations one interaction and one person at a time. As we focus on Jesus, the transformation he works within us will empower us to love and lead like he does in every sphere of life. And the scripture verse this morning is 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We have a family here with us in Phoenix this week. Our daughter and husband and two granddaughters are here. And we love the DISC bottle, and we've been talking about it in our family ever since our kids were young. And we were just this morning talking about the different styles and the fact that each one has strengths and each one has limitations or weaknesses. And the best way we know to overcome those limitations is to submit our life to the Lord and to ask him to work on us. And I think this particular devotion is indicative of that, that as we submit ourselves to him and he transforms us, that's our hope, I think, for the world. And so we just thought this would be a great way to start this morning. So let me read the prayer, and then we're going to turn this over to Ken. Jesus, shine through me today. Transform me from the inside out. Empower me to love, live, and lead like you and everywhere I go. Help me develop the reputation of being like you. In your name I pray. Amen.
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 Well, Ken, we're looking forward to what you have to share with us about our highest behavioral styles. We'll turn the phone over to you.
Well, Barbara, what I'd like to do is I'd like everybody, we did this before, everybody's on the line, is give their primary your classical pattern, and that would be helpful to me. You know, to kind of connect with people, and I hope that there'll be an opportunity to do some Q&A here. So is that possible for everybody to share with their style?
Absolutely. Let me direct that. I'll just start. I'm an primary S with a backup C and I.
And this is Barbara, and I am an ISC. All three of them are above the midline.
I'm going to take these in order that people signed on. Jim Barquette, please.
I am a high D. Well, also a high I.
Thank you. Barbara Miner?
I'm a very high S with a high C backup.
Thank you. Randy Pegues?
I'm a high C with a high D backup.
Thank you. Mark?
I'm a high C with an I backup.
Thank you. Karen McGuire?
I'm a high C with an S backup.
Kim?
I'm a high S with a C backup.
And we had, I think, several more people join us, if you don't mind sharing your name and if you know your
This is Cynthia Berry, and I'm a high S with a high C backup.
Woo-hoo. Thanks, Cynthia. Wonderful to hear your voice.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And was there anybody else who joined us? Okay, Kim, you get to share yours and then launch in.
Okay. I'm an SCD profile, and I have no I at all. But the Lord has blessed me with a high I partner of 54 years. So she works on me all the time to go ahead and punch up that the I a little bit. So we'll go ahead and see what we can come up with. I think it would be helpful as we go through this is to go to page 28 of your biblical disc that has all these classical patterns. I think if you also have an opportunity to kind of finger back through page 21, I'm gonna talk a little about that too, because it gives you kind of an insight into the fear and the want issues that are very, very critical to understanding the needs of these individuals. I'd like to just also encourage you as I talk, if there's a particular question that you have, that you'd write it down, and I want to go ahead and give some time for some Q&A to respond to your any question you might have concerning this style. I'm encouraged the fact that we got a lot of SCs on the line here, so I hope I'm going to be making some sense here. I'd like to go ahead and give some overviews with regard to the S. The first one is the S stands for stability or steadiness, and that is particularly true with regard to the S's with regard to family. And it's got an interesting application here, is to the four patriarchs. They were all S's, and they all represented one of the classical patterns. Abraham, of course, is your first S that's among that, and he was the S-I. And then you have Isaac as the primary S, and Jacob the S-C-D. And then Joseph at SD. So it's just interesting that as I did this study that it came out that way. And to see that there's representation of each one of the classical patterns among the patriarchs. The other characteristics of S's that is really outstanding is first of all, is the strength. They're incredibly patient people. And they, when affirmed, and that's key to us being loyal, is affirmation. What we really want is harmony, and of course the opposite of that, obviously, is disharmony. And we just don't particularly care for that, and we really hate confrontation. And our defense mechanism in responding to that, we may shade the truth a little bit to avoid that confrontation or that conflict. And, of course, you see that in both Abraham and Isaac as it got into the situation of their marriage and the fact that in that culture, if you liked this woman and she looked good, and, of course, Sarah looked good, you killed the husband. And so Abraham says, well, she's really my sister. And, of course, Isaac learned well, and he did the same thing. So we just don't like confrontation, and sometimes shade the truth to avoid it. The common defense mechanism of S's is passive aggressive. We can't win against D's. We just can't. But there is a passive aggressive skill set that we have, and you probably see that most in Jacob and how he dealt with his father-in-law Laban. You see that very commonly with regard to S's and how they handle it. Probably the most puzzling thing to D's and I's is the puzzling look that S's can give you when you ask them with the wrong tone of voice. There's just really nothing there, and what we need is just time to process. The other thing that's important to understand is that we get our best stuff when we get out of that conversation. We go into another room or somewhere else. And what I get a lot of times is my best stuff comes about 2:00 in the morning, and I tried a couple of times to share that with Linda at 2:00, and she didn't really appreciate it, so I've stopped doing that. But it's just to tell you,
can't imagine that, why that wouldn't work.
I don't know if that resonates with anybody listening here, but we just what we do is we just need that time to process. And then we go ahead and have to be away from the conversation. And if we get asked very directly in the conversation, we got nothing. I mean, we just really, there's nothing that we really can share at that moment, but we just need that time to process. And the other thing that is probably puzzling to the D's and the I's is that this thing called the three-cycle processing to take ownership, and we always kind of choreograph everything in solutions in our head as to how we're going to go it, and then we try it, and then we think about it, and then we try it, and then we think about it. And it's very, very common that what we have to do is we have to have a kind of a three-cycle process. And it's interesting in the whole issue with regard to Abraham and when God asked him to go ahead and leave the area where he was, and he traveled and he took his dad along. Of course, he had he was told to go ahead and leave his dad, which is just almost impossible for us to go ahead and do that. And he took his dad along, and of course, God just respected that he needs some time to process. And this dad died, and then the Lord went ahead and repeated the thing, and then Abraham went down to the promised land where he's supposed to be. And of course, he went back down to Egypt, and that didn't work. And of course, he's supposed to leave Lot there, but he took Lot along. And so that was another little process. And then they got out of Egypt and went on back to where they were supposed to be. And of course, the confrontation occurred between Lot's people and Lot's servants and Abraham's servants. And then they go ahead and separated. And then God told him the third time. So it's that three-cycle process. It may be very difficult for people to understand that we need that cycling in order to go ahead and really take true ownership of what we're supposed to be doing. I also want to just comment a little bit before I get into the characters themselves as to the significance of the three R's in responding and relating and reinforcing. And the ones that, as I go through these workshops and talk to S's and get them to go ahead and tell me, how do I initially respond to you so that you feel comfortable. I mean, the one that just jumps out at them that they respond a lot is, I need a non-threatening tone of voice. And they're suggesting it's how you say it rather than what you say that is really important. And that non-threatening tone is very, very critical. And this tends to be a little bit difficult for D's, because they problem solve by debating. And we have to understand the difference in the problem solving processes. And it's your tone of voice that I'm talking to the D's now, that kind of sets the tone for things. And if it's too direct, we tend to go ahead and shut down. To relate is nonverbal assurances. This is very critical, particularly if the love language is touch, which mine is. And I really appreciate that from Linda. What Linda does for me all the time is that anytime we go ahead and go to prayer, her hand always goes out. We've done this for 54 years, and it's really meaningful to me that her hand goes out and then we touch and we go ahead and pray. And then final one, that reinforcing, is just time to process. And I know that's frustrating for D's and I's because you want a quick response, and we just don't operate that way. And just be patient with us. We just need time to think. I want to also go ahead and talk about the love language thing. It's very common for S's that words of affirmation or love language or touch, either one of those two, seems to be a common. It's not true all the time, but it's very, very common that's the case. And finally, the real test of an S is to when they can go ahead and separate from the family, when they can cut that cord and be on their own. They generally have a difficult time going ahead and doing that. What I'd like to do now is to go through the classical patterns, and if you were there, we need for you to go ahead and go to page 28. And that I'll just kind of highlight that and talk about that. And the first one that we always put in the classical patterns is what I call the primary style. In other words, pretty much one particular, the S is the highest plotting point. The rest of them are right at the midline or below it. and Isaac is the best example of that from the scriptures. And it's interesting what Isaac did, and this kind of reinforces this whole thing with regard to confrontation. He had a lot of confrontation as he was moving around in where he was had his home, and they would continually go ahead and put dirt into his well, and rather than go ahead and find out who did it, he just move on, and he did that over and over again. So, and it's indicative of the fact that he really didn't want conflict. He really didn't do that at all. The female character there is, I love Anna. Anna is a New Testament character. And she was married only 7 years, and then she lost her husband. And what she chose to do is just serve at the temple, and she did that up until she was 84, and she actually saw Christ. So it shows that consistency and that loyalty and that just being very, very deliberate and following through. The other woman character is Dorcas. Unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of information on Dorcas, but one of the things that I picked up with her is she just did things for people in the community. Whatever they needed, she went in and did. And she wasn't really, really valued until she died. And of course, then they had Peter come on over and raise her. So it was kind of indicative again of S's. They just do things for people. If they're affirmed, they're very, very loyal. And that's just interesting. The other thing I want to tell you about Isaac, it was interesting when he met Rebecca and they were married. What he did, their honeymoon was to take Rebecca and their mother's tent. That just, to me, that just connected there with the family. I want to go to the next character, which is the SDs. I want to affirm them, and I just want to tell you about them. They're very rare. You don't see that style. It's an incongruent style. I mean, you just don't see that style that often. But when you do, they generally have outstanding administrative skills. They're very, very pragmatic, and they're very functional in what they do, and they're not into any kind of pomp and circumstance or flair or whatever. They're just very practical people. But the thing that sticks out with them is their administrative skills. And if you find one like that, you put them in an administrative function. In the case of Nehemiah and of Joseph, that's what you had. They were outstanding administrators. And, of course, the biblical character for the woman is Martha. And she was she kind of ran the house. And I believe, just from reading about her, that her love language is acts of service, and she expected everybody to go ahead and be a part of the team when you had guests alive. And of course, Mary, that wasn't Mary's gift. She just sat at Jesus' feet, and Martha got a little ticked at it and told Jesus, get her up and get her to do something. And Jesus had to kind of gently rebuke Martha and say, Martha, she's doing okay. She's doing what she needs to do. You see Martha in that too, and when you had the death of the brother, and she came on out and kind of rebuked Jesus. You know, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I mean, she was very direct with him, and I thought that Jesus handled her so well. He just says, Martha, we can take care of this. We're going to do something now, and of course he did. In Abraham's case, this one is the they call it the harmonizer, and I think that's a good description of the S and I combination. And that's Rich's style, right, Rich? That's his style.
Pretty much.
And it's such a joy to work with Rich and play tag with him. I just really enjoy doing that. But the thing that makes this style so interesting and unique is the fact that all four plotting points are relational. And they smile so easily. I mean, they really do. And you get to know them, and they just become good friends. I mean, they're just so affirming. They have that gift to affirm and to smile and to see the best in what you can do and encourage you. And it's interesting that what God makes a statement that He considered Abraham his friend. He called him the friend of God. It's actually in Scripture there that God labels him that way. I want to talk a little about Hannah, and I'm going to tell you something that is very important as you listen to this about the S style that is in spades with regard to the SI, is that they hate confrontation. And in dealing with confrontation, they have a tendency to go ahead and stuff their feelings. When you're advising a style that is high S and low D, you really need to ask that question. Under pressure, under conflict, do you ever stuff your feelings? And the reason you need to talk about that is that that is not healthy. And they have to go ahead and know a way in which to go ahead and deal with that pressure by talking about it. And in the case of Hannah, she was in a terrible situation. There were two women and one man in her husband in the marriage. And Peniah was the one that had the children, and Hannah didn't have any children. And Peniah was very jealous of that and really made life miserable for Hannah. And it says in the Scriptures, and Hannah could not eat. And it's a very, very common thing. And so I counsel you, as you're sitting there looking at, and you look at the natural style of a classical pattern, and if you see a high S and a low D, you need to ask that question: do you ever stuff your feelings? And that is, and if they're honest with you, they're going to tell you, yeah, I do that all the time. And it says, well, you know, what is it that you can do about it? And so you need to go ahead and give it to the Lord. And in Matthew, Jesus talks about worry, and we have a gift of worry. It's not a spiritual gift. It's something that we do. And we need to turn that over to the Lord and let Him take care of it. And that's exactly what Hannah did. And then it's what's so interesting about that passage there where Hannah's in 1 Samuel. It says, and then Hannah could eat after she gave it to the Lord. Hannah could eat. And of course, the beautiful part of that story is that she prayed for a son, and that son was Samuel. She made that covenant that if she did have a son, she'd give him back to the Lord, which she did, of course. But God didn't forget her about that, and He gave her a number of other sons and daughters. But I just need to. Can't emphasize this enough about understanding S's and what they do in confrontation, because they hate it, and they will stop it, and they need to go ahead and know that they need to give it to the Lord. All right, the last one is Jacob, and that one happens to be mine. And there are only two classical patterns of the 16 that have three above the midline, and I'm one of them, and Barbara Meese is the other. We have three different things we can do, and sometimes we get confused as to what we need to be doing. But we have an incredibly low I, and that means that we have the gift to go ahead and also stuff, but also go ahead and remember for a long time. And we can hold grudges, and we shouldn't do that. And our strategy is to be covert about it. And, of course, you see that in Jacob. He went ahead and really figured out a way how to take care of his father-in-law and by breeding the sheep, and he ended up coming out ahead, but he, you know, he didn't tell him what he was doing. So that's a problem with that particular style, and they are gifted at working complex problems. Like, you give them enough time and they'll figure it out, but they won't tell you about it. And if they don't like you, they'll set up landmines for you. And that's that's something I'm in my early days I could do very well, and it's not something I'm proud of. The other character that is in there also is James, and the brother of Jesus. And you see that this particular the examiner, yes, we can examine down to the final. We're a little more perfectionist than the SD. We're a little more concerned with making sure things are done right. So we take a little more time before we come up with an action plan, but it generally tends to be pretty thorough in what we do and how we do it. So this is a also can be a excellent, what we call, administrator. So those two styles can be pretty good administrative styles. So that's what we have in those particular characters. Okay, well, guys, I've gone through the S's. I hope that what I like is questions. And I hope that you have questions. So I'm done with this, and I'm looking forward to somebody coming up with a question so I can answer it.
Ken, this is wonderful. As a high S, I can say that this is so helpful to me. And one of the things that I've struggled with my whole life, as you indicated, is just this whole situation with conflict and how do you deal with it. And I would love if anybody on the line has an example of what you found has worked for you and how you deal with that when conflict happens, and even sharing feelings. That's not something we S's are great at.
No.
So I just might start with that, open the line to anybody that's willing to share a thought around that.
I am. This is Cynthia Berry. And I would say I'll just give an example of, Ken, you know how you say we need to go away and kind of figure things out? Don't ask us point blank because we got nothing. And I'm so happy
Bless
to know
you.
That I have literally said out of my mouth, I got nothing when something asks. But then when I go back to my desk, I have all of these ideas.
What I have found
in relationship to, because I am a stuffer and because conflict is intense for me, that I have learned to go back to a safe place and figure out how I'm going to address the conflict and then go back in.
Right.
Because it's as if I needed to have a script. I needed to cycle through what I'm going to say,
right.
And pray. But then when I went back in, I was clear of how I felt about the conflict, but also was able to go back in with solutions. That has helped me. Sometimes I fail at it. But that has been like my mode of operation, even from a personal standpoint as well as in my professional environment. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's been a helpful way to handle conflict and address it.
Well, I appreciate you reinforcing what we're saying here, and when I get into, you know, workshops like that, and I make mention of that. Boy, it's like the lights just come on for the S's, and I think I helped the S's more than any others to understand that they're normal in the way they're thinking, but it's abnormal to the D's and the I's, and that doesn't put something bad on the D's and the I's at all. I mean, we work at this together, but we just initially we got nothing. And we need to get away from that and go away and think it through, and sometimes. You know, I'm very tactile, so I need to go ahead and write things down as to what I should say. I try to go to the scripture, and if there's a scripture verse that I've noted in my Bible on this situation, I go there and meditate on that and try to get past that stuff. But it's amazing that when I go ahead and go through that the problem solving process of the S's and give them permission to understand that in the conflict we got nothing. We do listen, but we solve problems away from the situation, and we've got to choreograph our solutions in our mind a couple of times to kind of think it through, and that's where that cycling goes through. But the thing that I try to go ahead and encourage people to say, we can solve problems without drama. when we get to the solutions, we're trying to understand the whole thing, and with a tone of voice, it'll solve the problem without drama. And we're available to do that as long as there's the respect of who we are and that we're not dysfunctional. So that's a good question. I appreciate that, Cynthia.
Mm-hmm. So this is Barbara Miner. I'd like to add another supporting perspective on this. So I'm a very high S with a C backup, and like Rich and Ken, I am married to a high I, a very, very high I, and some of you know Hal. And Hal is very expressive and very demonstrative. And he was even raised by people who are in show business. When he gets frustrated, so I'll give you an example, just with a computer issue or something. I happen to be his technical support person, and I only know a little bit more than he does. So if he's having a problem on his computer, he'll get very upset and, his voice goes up and all this. And I've told him before, when I hear that, it just makes me want to run. But if you can just say, honey, I'm having a problem. Can you help me with this? Then I am so there for you. So I've talked with him about what I need from him, but he also needs me to be more expressive and responsive and more engaging, with his level of intensity. And that's not me. So
I
think we all adapt some in our own, from our own natural styles.
That's exactly true. And we need to punch it up a minute. Oh, this is what Linda, especially when you go to parties where I don't know anybody. you got to be upbeat and whatever, and what I do is I will always go ahead and pick out an eye because I know who they are because they're so animated. And I'll go over, start engaging in a conversation and asking a question. And what happens is it'll take them 5 minutes to go ahead and answer my question. And sometimes they go a little random in areas where I have no idea where they're going with this. But, I look interested. And that's the way I handle that. I just pick out eyes and because I know them, and I can ask them a question, and I don't have to come up with anything for another 5 minutes before I do that, and then they'll just ask another question, and this invariably happens is when we get through this, they'll tell me, I had such a good time. I say, so did I. I didn't have to say too much. but anyway, it is hard, to go ahead and do that. And what I've learned to go ahead and do is just ask questions, and hopefully engage that way. but it's to be upbeat and demonstrative and all that kind of stuff is a stretch for me. And the other thing I give S's permission to do is when you have to be upbeat like that, you get very tired. So you just tell Linda, I need to take a nap. I need to get out of here and take a nap here, because this is stressing me out. But I had a question. Yeah.
And this is a question about the where we're landing on our outcomes. I'm an SC, right? Mm-hmm. High S and C, right. But I don't quite see the where do I actually. I don't see an example of just a SC.
An SC?
You know what I mean? We have SDSI, SCDI. I don't see a standalone for an SC. Is there, or is it just a combination?
Are you talking about a biblical model, or are you just talking about
I'm talking about a behavioral pattern. Because there's no standalone SC. So do I look at the SCD?
I would say, let me just ask you a question. Where is your plotting point on the
opinion? My plotting point is, I think it's almost 90% for S, and then for C, I'm right at about 50%. I need to look at the percentage.
Yeah, and what my question is the D continuum. What is the percentage on the D continuum?
Oh, on the D. Oh, all the way low. I would say down there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's
and
20%
at
that.
Yeah, I totally get that. And that's how you go ahead and say, okay, what classical pattern would I go ahead and suggest you look at? And it would be the if you are looking at the page 28, if you're looking at it, okay, it would be the first one. And the deciding factor for me is to say, what is the position of your S? You just told me it's very high. Then when I said, what is your position of the D continuum? It's very low. Do you see on that example, that's exactly what you had. And a lot of times when you go ahead and go through that, you have to take in consideration all four plotting points. But what is unique is the high S and the low D are complementary to a very strong S profile. And that's who you are. And that's that's how you do that. And see, when you look at the next one, which is called the finisher, you see where the D is above the midline. If you look at the examiner, you see that the D is above the midline. That's not you at all. So you can kind of work backwards and say, no, that's not me. That's not me. And the other one would be you would look at the harmonizer, which is the third one there, but the I is above the midline. That's not you. So the one that's the closest to who you are is the first one, which is the primary S.
So when I'm serving people, that's kind of what I need to look at, just when I'm helping others walk through their outcome. Okay. All right.
That's an excellent question. It's an outstanding question, and you need to understand this, and I need to reinforce this again. It is looking at the entire profile and try to get a profile that has the highest and the lowest complementary, and that's where you go.
That's good.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia, for that. This is Rich. Just a little historical perspective. We worked with one of the original developers of this tool was a University of Minnesota professor, and Ken and Barbara and I all had the chance to work with this man. And what he came up with is that in the way this works out with, at the time we had 24 choices of words, there were 1,296 combinations of DIS and C, which obviously would be way too much for anybody to try to put their arms around. So he came up with what he called the 16 classical patterns. And what we've done on this page, as you can see, 26, 27, 28, 29, we call them behavioral patterns. Ken is referring to the classical patterns that John Geyer originally came up with. So that's the way you work with that information. It's not going to always be perfect. It's not going to always line up. But you look for those high and lows to really get at which is going to be closest to what we call their classical behavioral pattern.
Thank you. Okay.
That's great learning for all of us.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
What other questions or comments do we have from our group?
I have a question. I'm a high D who lives with a high S, and my son is a high CS. In what ways, and they do stuff their feelings, in what ways can I help them to express themselves, to talk about their feelings and what's going on?
I'm going to give you, that what I tried to do, Jim, is to go ahead and talk to you about the, to me, the secret is in the three R's there. And I always go there and say, would you help me in understanding how I can go ahead and get a relationship with you? And that is in that, going to that page of the three R's and say, if you could pick one thing that
that's
you
page,
would appreciate.
That's page 25, everybody. Page 25. Of
page
your,
25,
of
to me, that's the golden nugget in this whole thing, guys. And what I do, and Jim, you asked a great question, and what I want to do is go there. And if you were to go to that page right now, it's 24, page 24, right,
24.
Rich?
I'm sorry,
no.
24.
Okay. What I do,
yep.
too, Jim, you asked a great question. If he, I always ask them to go ahead, you've got three choices in how to respond, how to relate, how to reinforce. And I said, if you could pick one that is the most important to you, what would that be? And if they're SC, then you let them go ahead and look at the C also and just pick one there, how to respond, how to break, how to reinforce. And that gives you some idea of what that environment looks like. Now, I use the word, Jim, environment. What I really want to use is how do you love? And that's where you are. Your question is, how do I love you? But maybe a safer word is, how do I create the right environment for you? You know, maybe the best thing to go ahead and do there is to get them to go ahead and respond to you with that, and give me the best. And if they go ahead and tell you, Jim, are you on page 24? Are you?
Yes, I am.
Are you there? Okay. If they pick be non-threatening and patient and use friendly tones when instructed, and then use the last one, be patient, allowing time to take ownership. It is the creating of the the tone of voice means more, and how you say it than anything else. And I always tell the S's, now let's take some ownership here. If you sense that the tone of voice is not right, use a little bit of humor and say, Jim, I want to hear you, but your D's up just a little bit, and smile. And see, you don't know that you're coming. You're just trying to solve the problem here. I got that. But we're reading something that you're not intending. So it's kind of us working together at it and doing that. But I probably the best exercise I can tell you, Jim, is to go ahead and get them to pick one thing out of how to respond, how to relate, and how to reinforce. And it'll give you some idea. And, Jim, take your patience pill every morning. But what you're trying to do is getting them to feel comfortable. You're not their enemy. You're just trying to understand the problem, and your giftedness is to solve problems. The other thing you got to remember too, sometimes just listening is the best thing you can do. Don't try to solve something, you know. And they're very reluctant if there's any hint of confrontation or conflict. You know, they shut down. And it's very challenging. It's very challenging until they realize, no matter what, you love them.
Hey, Jim, this is Barbara. I want to chime in on that because I too am married to a high S and have been for 25 years. And when I think about relating to Rich, one of the most important things that I have to remember, and I see it in how to respond, how to relate, and how to reinforce, in all three of those, there is the statement, allow time. And I find it's even helpful when making decisions. If we're trying to make a decision and I can see that this is not working good, if we can say, you know, if we can make this decision or if we can solve this problem by a certain time, like let's try and get this solved by the end of the week, or, you know, if it's a really big decision, or can we figure this out by the end of the day? I think sometimes giving high S's a parameter of what you're looking for from them and then give them time. And like I heard it earlier, sometimes you need to go pray about it, or sometimes they just need to go
figure it out. I think Cynthia made a good point. You know, you just got to get away and let them do that, and then they'll come back and usually have incredible, incredible feedback for you.
I think, too, the other thing I would tell you, Jim, is always need, if it's an important decision, never make that decision without a good night's sleep. You know, and you say, and you can negotiate a time. And I think what Barbara was telling you is very important, that you negotiate a time where we've got to go ahead and, you know, move the thing forward or make some sort of a decision. But don't ever try to do it without, you know, without a reflection time and a good night's sleep. I just, you know, that I can't give you any better counsel than that. And just respect that need for time to process and give it a good night's sleep.
Good. Thank you, Ken.
Very good.
Thank
you.
Good.
Thank you, Barbara.
Are there any other questions or comments for Ken before we close the call today?
Well, I just want to say this, that I appreciate every one of you guys, and that you come in, you were a good group to talk to. I have real challenges when I can't see your faces, you know, but you asked some good questions, and I hope that what I was able to do was helpful to you.
Yeah, it was. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, thanks, everybody,
yeah, thanks.
For joining. Yeah, thanks, everybody. I appreciate you being with us and for your good feedback and your questions. It's so great to have this on the recording, because those that couldn't be with us will be able to benefit from this at another time. So next month, and in the month of April, we'll be doing our High Seas. So I hope you'll tune in for that and be a part of that call also. So we're going to just close our call today with a word of prayer. Let's pray.
Thank you, God.
Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for all the love, the grace, and the mercy that you pour down on us every day. And Father, we thank you today for strength and life and health. And I ask, Lord, that you go with and be with all of those that are on our call today, be with their family, their friends, and Lord, continue to draw us closer unto you. Help us to thirst for you and just really want to lead and live and love like you. And so, Father, let your light shine through us, that we might be a good witness of your love to all those we come in contact with. And now, Lord, go with us today, and we ask this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.
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 Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Barbara.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Rich. Bye-bye.